Hi. So, I work for Columbia Housing, and my name is Cynthia Hardy, and I work in the communications area for Columbia Housing.
All right.
And so I'm delighted to do this call with you. Now, I'm going to be recording it so I can get a lot of your, just a lot of your sentiments. Can you say and spell your full name for me?
Okay. Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-N-E. And my middle initial is R.
Mm-hmm.
And my last name is Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in another room. My husband's on a conference call, and he's kind of loud, so hold on. So, Ms. Martin, I'm interested in your story. So can you give me an idea about your memories of Allen Benedict Court?
Okay. As I said earlier, it was just like a big family. Everybody knew everybody in the different buildings. And in the center of Allen Benedict Court, we had a little store, candy store, that was run by two different blind men. The first one was Mr. Hill.
Okay.
Now,
did you go there often?
Huh?
Go ahead, and the second one?
The second one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Mr. Leroy Moss. He was blind. He was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of Mr. Hill's first name.
Mm-hmm.
And, in the summertime, we enjoyed going to the candy store. We had a sprinkler pool in the center, going to the sprinkler pool. And, of course, my mother, Rebecca Red, ran the preschool at that time, and she was also the recreation worker.
You know, Ms. Martin, the thing that fascinated me most when I got you on the phone, is you told me that you were born there. Can you give me an idea about that? Can you tell me that story?
Okay. My mother said she decided for her last baby she was going to have that baby at home. And it was Miss Dolly. She was the lady who delivered me. And my mother said they only had to pay her $20. And that was less than going to the hospital. And back then, you know, they didn't have any insurance. My dad was a hotel worker, and they only got paid by tips back in the day. When I tell people that, they don't believe it. But my dad had never received a paycheck. He would come home at night with all this change in his pocket. And he would take that money and put on a dresser. And at the end of the month, when it was time to pay rent, I would have to count that money. And I do believe that helped me in my math when I got to school. He would have me to count the money, and I'm thinking it was $42 I had to count out and give to him. And he would go and make bills with it to pay the rent. I do remember that. And I remember the most enjoyable time we had was during Christmas. Every child got a pair of skates. And Christmas, Allen Benedict Court was packed with children from all over, coming down that hill from the A building down in the center. And families had few cars, so we were able to skate in that area all day long. And that's the most fun that I remember that we had during the Christmas time. And families stuck together. I think back to the Kennedy family. And Mr. Kennedy would go to the country like once a month and bring back a whole hog, and that hog was divided with any family that wanted hog meat.
Wow.
And I remember the A family. They lived next door to us in the G building. And Mr. A worked at Pet Milk Company. So every Saturday he came home with milk, ice cream, popsicles, you name it, for the neighborhood.
That must have been a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And right today, I still stay in contact with folks that I know that live in Alabinity Court. A lot of the residents, they're deceased, they passed on. But I stay in contact with the children. And like my age group, everybody's dying out. But the younger age group, they're still around. And I don't know too much about them because we moved over to Saxon Homes.
Okay.
My mother needed a bedroom, an extra bedroom for my granddaddy who was getting sick. So we moved over in Saxon Homes. And in Saxon Homes, we lived in building 331, and we had 4 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal back in that day, having 4 bedrooms. But we had 4 bedrooms, and we stayed there until my mom and dad saved enough money to buy a house.
Okay. Now, you lived, you were born at Allen Benedict Court in G1?
G9.
Uh-huh. What year were you born?
1941.
So you were among the first families in the Allen Benedict Court.
Yes, we were.
What did your mother say about that?
Oh, she said she had put in her application and prayed that she would get a place on Allen Benedict Court because the word had spread it all over Columbia. This new project is going to be something. And everybody was excited. Everybody was excited about moving over there. Families were families, and we just had a good time.
Where did you go to school? Tell me about going to school, and tell me about your friends, and did you have a dog or, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we didn't have any pets. I went to, and everybody in Allen Benedict Court started off in school at Carver Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, my first grade teacher, Miss Carly, is still living today.
How about that?
Uh-huh. I saw her. She's with her niece, and her name is Yvonne. And I saw her about 2 years ago. She still looks good, and she's up in age. But you just can't tell it. She said, Yvonne, I remember you. You was a good student.
That's all, that always sounds good coming from the first grade teacher. I guess I don't care how old you are. That always sounds good to know that they thought that you did well.
Yes. And
what about high school? What about high school?
The best high school in Columbia, C.A. Johnson High School. I was in the class of 1959.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's just awesome. You were going to tell me about, I interrupted you, and you sound like you were going to tell me about a memory that you had about being younger, maybe a little girl, and playing around there or something like that you were about to say before I ask you about high school.
Okay. Now, we had another park. We consider it a park, Drew Park, where we would go in the summertime. And 4 parks were connected with Drew Park, Allen Benedict Court, and St. Anna's Park, that's over off of Washington Street. And the other school, the other part was, we call it Crosstown.
Mm-hmm.
It was across Gervais Street and that name, I forgot the name of that park.
Mm-hmm.
But during the summer, all the different parks would go to Drew Park, and we would have the biggest event of the year was the maypole wrapping. Each park would bring the girls, and we would have to wrap the maypole. And the thing about the maypole, every park, it was a beautiful thing, every park wore different colors. And the main goal of the maypole wrappers was who could wrap the pole first and unwrap it.
Oh, wow.
So that was the biggest event of the summer for us,
mm-hmm.
wrapping the maypole. As
mm-hmm.
we were growing up, everybody wanted to wrap the maypole. So that was a big event.
So as a little girl
uh-huh.
growing up in Columbia and living at Allen Benedict Court, were you happy?
Very happy. Very happy. You know, the kids played and had a good time, and it was never no fighting. Everybody was just happy. I can't remember, you know, thinking back, and I think of the kids today, I said, Lord, we didn't have this going on when we were growing up. We had a Brownie Scout. When we were young, a little Brownie Scout club. And as we got a little older, we had the Girl Scout club. And we got a little older, we had the Charmettes. That was mm-hmm. all girls, and that was a teenage club,
mm-hmm.
all girls. And I'm trying now to find some pictures for you.
I would love to see them.
But the pictures I have in my possession, they're copies, and I'm going to try to get out to my mother's house and get the original pictures for you.
Okay.
So you can see them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be really, really good. Now, around Columbia at the time, talk to me a little bit about what was going on in Columbia around that time. You know, I've heard stories about the bowling alley and about, you know, a number of things like down near Washington Street was where a number of African-American people went to shop and things like that. And I'm just wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what was happening in the city around that time when you were growing up.
Okay, growing up, the biggest thing for us that live in Allen Benedict Court was going to the Carver Theater right across from Allen University on Saturdays. I think we paid 25 cents to get in and to buy popcorn and your drink. It was like 10 cents. And for me, if I did all my work during the week, schoolwork, my mother would give me the money, me and my two brothers, to go to the Carver Theater. Well, it was fun because we'd go early in the morning and come back late in the afternoon. We would stay in the theater all day long. And it was a good thing, but it was a bad thing because if the group that went in earlier than you, they'd be in there telling you what's coming on next. And that would make you so mad. We just had fun. Everything was fun. All right. Now, Washington Street,
mm-hmm.
The blacks during that time had a barber shop, beauty shop. The funeral home was on Washington Street, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
A tailoring store. What else was down there? Well, that was the place where the blacks would take their business on Saturday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
How would you get there?
The majority of the people who didn't have cars would ride the bus. The city bus would pick you up right in front of Allen and Benedict College.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember, but you had to buy tokens. I can't remember how much the tokens cost.
Mm-hmm.
And you go downtown, and then when you get downtown, you'll have to walk a couple blocks to Washington Street. and they had cafes, juke joints. It was just a happy time for black people.
Tell me about your family. Tell me about your mom and your dad and your
okay.
brothers and sisters. Tell me about them.
Okay. My mom was my sweetheart. And in 1944, the kindergarten that I attended was Allen Benedict Court. The leader left and went to, her name was Miss Caldwell, and she left and went to Washington, D.C. with her family to further her education. The other assistant leader was Miss Jeter, and Miss Jeter left town to go care for a member. So I forgot how it was, but Mother said she was offered the job of working with the kindergarten.
In 1944?
That was 1944. I was in getting ready to go to Carver Elementary in 45.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
very well. And she was offered a job. And she took the job, and they say, well, Mrs. Red, is no salary with this. The only money you will get is the $3 a month that the parents have to pay. And she accepted that. And her first assistant leader was Miss Catherine Martin. Miss Martin stayed until, I can't remember how long, but she left to further her education. And then Miss Martin's neighbor, Miss Mamie Doctor, she came on as a leader. And and after Miss Doctor left, Miss Doctor took the position at Jagger's Terrace, when they opened up Jagger's Terrace.
Okay.
And after Miss Doctor left and took that position, I can tell you, five other ladies that came after her to help Mother as assistant leaders. All of the ladies were good, but like they had other things they wanted to pursue, like getting their education, getting a better job, a better paying job,
mm-hmm.
and they left. But they all, like I say, left in good standings, because she would always come home and say, my Lord, the one for Miss Christine, I don't know what I would have done today. Sometimes they had 40 to 45 children.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, they had a lot of kids down there.
So it was a preschool or a kindergarten?
They called it preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They called it
mm-hmm.
preschool.
And so the kids were maybe 3, 4, and 5?
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5, right before they went to Carver.
Mhm. Mhm. And I imagine everybody wanted to go there. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, just
and
because...
we had another one now. They had another preschool when they built Saxon Homes.
Mhm.
And they had another preschool when they built Jagger's Terrace. So it was convenient for all the parents, because all they had to do was take the kids to school and go on to work.
Yeah, that's really convenient.
Right in the same village.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the same village.
How old were you when you moved from Allen Benedict Court over to Saxon Homes?
I'm thinking I was about 10
mm-hmm.
years old.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so how long did you live there? Because you guys
long.
Bought a house after a while.
Yeah, we bought a house, so we didn't stay that long. I can't think of how many years it was.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, tell me about after high school, what you did, and, you know, just kind of how the twists and turns your life took you at that time, you know, like after high school.
Oh, after high school, I went to Benedict College because my dad, I was a dad girl, and he didn't want me to go out of town. And I graduated from Benedict in 1963.
what you major in, and then what you do, what kind of jobs and things like that, Ms. Martin.
Okay, I majored in business education, and my first job was here in Columbia with the Internal Revenue Service.
Wow.
And my husband was military, so my second job was in a small town, Aberdeen Proving Ground. I live on base and worked on base.
What kind of jobs did you enjoy most?
What kind of job I enjoyed most?
Retiring. Where'd you retire from? What kind of things were you doing?
Oh, well, I retired from Fort Jackson.
Okay.
Moncrief Army Hospital. I was a claims examiner for the hospital.
It sounds like interesting work. How long were you there?
Until my retirement, and I retired in 1998.
Okay. So did you spend 20 years there, or?
Mm-mm, no, I had other jobs.
Okay.
In between the time we left Maryland, we came back to Columbia. No, when we left Maryland, sorry, we were in Newport News, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The military sent my husband to Hampton, Virginia. So we lived in the little town right next to Hampton, Newport News, and I worked there at the school for deaf and blind.
And children, tell me about your family, your children and grandchildren, those kinds of things.
Okay, I have three children, two boys and one girl, and my oldest son went to the U.S. Navy. He retired from the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
And my middle son is the GM in Nashville, Tennessee for Darrell Waltrip. That's the race car driver's brother.
Wow.
He's his GM at the dealership. He's been there for 5 years.
Okay.
And my daughter, she lived in Chicago for 20 years but came back home to help me when my mother took sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out of work for about a year and a half. And after my mother passed, she got a job with, she's working now with, what's the name of the place? It's an automobile place, Lord have mercy.
Do they make cars?
No, but where she is like a salesperson.
Okay.
Wait one minute, let me get a car back.
Okay.
I tell you, I can't remember stuff like it used to.
Me neither.
You could be as bad as I am.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You know, Ms. Martin, this conversation is really, really, really great. People have said, well, have you talked to the Red family? Have you talked to the Red family? You know, I was talking to Harry Hunter. Harry runs a little black publication, a newspaper, and, you know, he grew up, he and Vince Ford grew up around the same time in the Allenville court, but he talked about the Red family. Have you talked to them? Have you talked to them? And so as I'm doing, you know, these interviews, your family is a family that always, you know, people ask about, you know, makes you sure. Yeah.
Oh, yes. My daughter works now for Michelin.
Oh.
Michelin Tire.
Okay.
And I got a grandson. He works for Michelin Tire.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the southeast region, and he's in the southeast region. She's in Missouri, and he's in New Orleans. And I have another grandson who works for the tire company in Charlotte. I can't think of that name.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is it Goodyear?
No, it's not Goodyear. I think it's Continental.
Okay.
I think, I'm not sure.
Wow. So how do you spend your time these days? What are the things that give you a lot of pleasure? What do you do? How do you occupy your time?
Mostly, I visit the elderly and the sick certain days of the week and take and just go and sit around and talk to them and help them and do anything I can do to help them. When I retired. Said I don't want to go on another job. And I'm just satisfied doing that, helping other people, the elderly. Now I'm elderly. I need somebody to come help me.
Do you still go and visit every now and again? Do you still get a chance to
go? I don't go now because of this virus.
Oh, yes.
But I make sure I call. And if they need anything to eat, I'll take them food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like my own missionary, trying to help.
Wow. You know, this COVID stuff is something, isn't it?
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And you have to be so careful.
Mm-hmm,
and the
you
way
do.
They talk, is bad. I hate to say it, but the way they talk, it's bad for us blacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we better stay still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It does feel like that, right? It does feel like we need to stay still, you know, and not just be so eager. You know, I was worried. I'm worried about, people who seem to ignore the social distancing.
Yeah, and they're taking it for granted. Don't wear no mask or nothing.
And but I wear mine.
Yeah,
and, I may call you again. Because I want you to think about it, and I want you to keep my number. And if there are other things that you want to add, you know, to our conversation, I want you to feel free to call me and to let me know. Because what we're going to do with this interview is try to put them together with what several people say and try to paint a picture that is very fitting to what Alan Benedict Court has meant to so many people. The way you describe it, it was a wonderful place.
Wonderful.
It sounds like you felt safe, you felt secure, you were happy, there was a loving community around you. And, for a little kid, I imagine, it doesn't really get any better than that, right?
That's right. That's right. That was home for us. And I tell everybody, I'm from the village, Alan Benedict Court. Also, since it was hard, I'm sorry.
No, call me Cynthia. It's great.
I got to tell you this. Hold on 1 minute. Let me see if I can find the paperwork.
All right.
Hold on 1 minute.
All right.
Ms. Harder, probably you remember this. In 2005, Newsweek magazine, no, it was in 1965, they came to Columbia and interviewed 5 residents, and the article was The New South Today. Their children and grandchildren claim a South that's very different and very much the same. Can you remember that?
No. So in 1965, Newsweek.
Came and interviewed 5 Columbia residents, and my daddy was one.
Wow.
And I don't have that first article on hand, but I got when they came back in 2005 and interviewed me, my sister, and my brother. My brother is now deceased. My daddy's name was Ernest Red.
And so tell me about the story when Newsweek came in 65, and they were talking about the New South. And
New
so
South.
They were, yeah. And so at that
this, excuse me, this is one of the articles I was going to copy and give to you.
Okay.
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 And they got a picture of my daddy in his hotel. I tell you, he's bellhop, hotel uniform. A picture of me, my sister, and my brother.
I'd love to see that.
Uh-huh. I wanted you to see it.
I would love to see that. So it's a picture of you and your dad and your sister and your brother in 1965.
Yes.
Oh, that's
awesome.
The
picture in 1965 was a current picture of us sitting here in my dining room. And the picture on the front page of my dad is a picture I gave them of him in his bellhop uniform. It was the New South, article was the New South Generations. And they said there was aristocrat, her name was Jenny Drift, African-American bellhop, that was my daddy. Businessman, Charles Batson, gas station owner, and Grover Sailor, and mill worker, Knowlton Jeffcoat. So I would like for you to see this.
I would. Now, the five families that they interviewed, were they all from South Carolina? Were they from other parts of the country?
Uh-uh. Every one of them was from Columbia.
Oh, wow. So the Jeffcoats was probably, okay. So the Jeffcoats family, that probably was the same, maybe it was King's Jeffcoat's dad or something like that.
Uh-uh. No,
no,
I know King's Jeffcoat. No, it was all white, and my dad was the only African-American.
I see.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to try to find the article that came out in 1965, but this
okay.
is the article that they did in 2005 when they came back to Columbia.
40 years later.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
so
amazing?
I'm going to make a copy for you to read this, okay?
I would love that. I would
All
love
right.
that.
All right.
And if there are other things like, you know, pictures, programs, anything,
okay.
you know, that you think would be interesting for us
okay.
to take a look at. And
right.
so beyond this interview, we'll have several activities that we want to have. I'd love for you to meet our leadership at Columbia Housing. I'd love for them to hear your stories. I'm going to share this interview with them, but I would love, you know, to be able to sit down and talk to you face to face when some of this stuff dies down and bring together a number of the other people. You know, do you still see anybody from your childhood or from your days at Allen Benedict Court or Saxon Homes? Do you still see any of those people?
Uh-huh. One lady, my next-door neighbor, Carrie English Reese, we talk. We're next-door neighbors in Allen Benedict Court. She lived in P7, and we live in P8. That's when we move on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We talk often. Also, I don't know if you know him or not, Harry Hunter.
Yes.
Okay, Harry, mother, and I, the best of friends.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh, and she's still living. She lives out off of Broadway Road in a housing for senior citizens.
Okay.
And we stay in contact with each other. And I have a classmate. I haven't heard from her quite some time. You know the McBride family?
I do.
Okay. Well, Doris and I were in class together.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And who else was in my class? I'm trying to think. Oh,
so the McBride family lived in Allen Benedict Court, too, for a long time, too.
Yeah.
I understand.
They were in the A building.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They were in the A building. And I haven't seen them in a long time, but the doctor family, they're in the A building. You heard of Bobby Doctor?
I have.
Uh-huh. Their family lived in the A building. Jean, the oldest daughter, was in my class. see who else. Harriet Brown. She was old. She was in my brother's class, in the class of 55. She's still living. She lives in Columbia.
Okay.
And was a longtime resident of Allen Benedict Court. And right now, that's all who I can think of right now.
Well, I want to let you know how pleasurable this has been for me to have this conversation with you. And
thank you. And it's so nice of you to thank me, to call me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any questions or anything you want to ask me or anything like that?
No. When I meet with you, we'll talk.
Okay.
And if anything, listen, if anything you think of you want to ask me, you can call me.
Okay. Now, what is your address? If I want to mail you something, what is your address?
2222 Adams, ADAMS Street. That's Columbia.
Okay.
29203.
Okay. All right.
All right. Okay.
Partner, sure has been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, pleasure talking to you. And you take care.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.